Welcome to the SEI Podcast Series, a production of the Carnegie Mellon University Software Engineering Institute. The SEI is a federally funded research and development center sponsored by the U.S. Department of Defense. A transcript of today's podcast is posted on the SEI website at sei.cmu.edu/podcasts.
So why don't we start with a little bit of a definition of what deep learning is, and perhaps maybe a little bit about what it isn't, because I think there's a lot of material out there on the web for people to look at. Why don't we start with you, Ridwick, and then go to you, Carson.
Sure. So like you said, like deep learning, there's a lot of information about it out there on the internet, but sometimes what people get confused about is deep learning different than what machine learning is? So I think it's very important to start at the start of things, which is deep learning is a subset of the wider field of machine learning. So generally, it's been the case that a lot of people have heard of things such as SVMs, linear regressions, some basic people are calling them now shallow models. Mm-hmm. And now they're saying, oh, deep learning, that sounds deeper and better. So it must obviously be more accurate and the end-all be-all to everything. That's not the case. So while traditional shallow learning and what happens in that sense is I want to make some inference about some environment or some state of the world that I want to learn about. So what I do is I, as a scientist, go out and I collect a set of features, right? So for example, a set of features in this situation might be the amplitude of my voice, the tone, the pitch. I would have to specifically extract those features and put them in a data set that a computer can understand. And you know, then we'd have a simple model or even a complicated model that would then learn some stuff on that and do inference, regression, classification, whatever. Compared to that, what deep learning is that deep learning is traditionally three main things. One is that it is a composition of a series of nonlinear filters. So filter being the statistical term, so any kind of nonlinear function composed together end to end that learns its own representation of the world. So unlike shallow learning, in which I would have to physically give you a set of features and here's the features for you to learn on top of, the point of deep learning is that it will learn its own representation of the world that it's supposed to be learning. So it would learn whatever is important for that specific environment and then do inference on top of it.
So in the shallow learning example you started with, I would give you a recording of a voice and then I would indicate to you that when the voice sounds like this, it means this emotion is present, or when the voice sounds like this, it means this communication is being intended. Whereas in deep learning, you don't make that link for the system derives that link.
So yeah, so that's a different part.
Okay.
So what you're talking about in general is just the whole topic of data set labeling and supervised versus unsupervised learning. What this is that, I'll build a simpler example. Let's say I'm observing bees flying back and forth from a hive to a flower, back and forth from a hive to a flower. I would tell the machine learning algorithm a feature set such as the height of the bee's flight. Okay. And I'd give it like meters off the ground it was at certain points of the flight. I would tell it the color of the bee at different points if it changes. It's a magical bee. I would tell it the distance to the flower. So it's not examples of different bee flights. It is specific metrics about that environment.
Okay.
And it could be metrics. It could be something more abstract. But I will have to define a feature space for the environment and then give that to the shallow learning model.
Okay. Yeah. If I can unpack that a little bit with your audio understanding example, and to think about the idea of what a feature is here. So if you it would be reasonable for a human engineer to want to make a claim to the computer about maybe when the pitch of your voice takes this certain contour. Here is a set of 20 different contours that we, the humans, believe is meaningful for this language of speech. Or maybe this kind of filtering of white noise or something is useful for speech in this way. This kind of sentence structure is useful in this particular way. You're still going to give data to a machine learning algorithm or a deep learning algorithm. You're frequently going to say, here's a data set and here's the right answer.
Mm-hmm.
But the difference is going to be in a deep learning system, the reason they exist and the reason they shine is when it's very hard to describe what the right features might be.
Okay.
So in this case, say I don't know anything about the language that I'm studying. I don't know that maybe a rising pitch at the end of a sentence has any kind of semantic meaning.
Mm.
But I do have a million labeled examples of a sentence that ends like that. and I know that there's something in common between them. The point of the machine learning or of a deep learning algorithm is that it can infer the fact that that rising pitch was important. You didn't have to tell the system that in the first place.
Okay. Okay. So perhaps another example to make it even more obvious for our audience. When my mother saw my firstborn child, mm-hmm. she looked down at the crib and said, "Yep, that's one of mine."
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Was it because my child has the same nose I have? Was it the shape of the eyebrows? Was it the shape of the jawline? Those are things we could talk about as features. The difference
yes.
between shallow learning and deep learning is in shallow learning, we would tell the system, these are aspects that you need to care about. Mm-hmm. In deep learning, that's inferred. Just as my son had to infer what his grandmother looks like.
Correct.
Never being told before he was verbal that these are features that you care about.
Yeah.
His way of learning about who that person is looking down at the crib was much more in line with deep learning than shallow learning, where I say, when you're studying for this book report, now that he's in sixth grade, these are the kinds of things you should attune to. And so I'm telling him features, and it's a different kind of learning.
Correct. And okay. what your son did was learn a representation of his grandma, aka representation learning, which is what deep learning models do, representation learning.
Okay.
Yep.
Great.
There's something else that Ritwik mentioned in his characterization of deep learning that I think is really good, which is this sequence of nonlinear transformations. Mm. For me as a mathematician, I perfectly understand what that means, but in case that isn't clear,
yep.
what you're doing is passing through a filter will take your input data and change it slightly in order to exaggerate important parts of it. In an image, what that might do is to find edges, horizontal edges or vertical edges, to pick out what's the boundary of things. Or it might actually be a blurring. If it turns out that your image has a lot of noise in it, like TV static, blurring might be a really useful way to transform that image to get rid of the stuff that doesn't matter. And so you can do that once, but you can also do it 100 times. And every time that you're applying this transformation, you're pulling out the parts of the data that are interesting, that matter for the problem at hand.
Yeah.
So that's really what a nonlinear transformation is. It's what a transformation is,
yes.
but the nonlinearity is really gives it mathematical power to create good computation.
So you get yes. a wider range.
Yes.
with each of the filters than you would with a linear application.
Yes.
Correct. And that's not to say that shallow learning doesn't do nonlinear transformations. It's just that, let's say I have one nonlinear transformation, like a sigmoid function, right? It kind of looks like that. Let's say we just have that as a shallow learning model. It can only represent data that kind of looks like that. Mm. But imagine I stacked a whole bunch, composed a whole bunch of those together. The more nonlinear filters I compose together, you can imagine me putting kinks in a ruler, right? Mm. The more kinks I put in, the more I can approximate much more convex, very varied shaped functions, right? So that's the idea. As you compose more and more nonlinear functions together, you can represent a much wider function space than you could with just one nonlinear function.
Okay.
So that is why deep learning is different from shallow learning, because shallow learning doesn't compose multiple things together. Deep learning does.
Okay. So as I was preparing for this podcast, one of the things I thought of is this process of communicating to somebody how someone looks. And so if I was describing over the telephone to a distant cousin of mine what my mother's appearance is, because this distant cousin is meeting her at a train station, I would start by talking about features of the face that are known to be germane to such a description. That might be shallow learning. How does deep learning differ from that?
So in shallow learning, if I'm using something like shallow learning to explain to you what my mom looks like, I would say she has a chin that looks like a 75 degree V. She has eyebrows that are about 3 centimeters wide and 2 centimeters thick, and a nose that's about this sharp. In deep learning, I would say, oh, she looks like me, she looks like my brother, she looks like my sister.
Yeah.
And then what she would have to do is pull all of you together in her head and build her own representation of what your mom should look like.
Okay.
What are common features between you, your siblings, et cetera, that your mom would share so she can then identify your sister.
Neat. Okay.
So that is shallow learning versus deep learning.
Okay. you gentlemen both work for different elements of the Software Engineering Institute. You're at CERT, and you're with the Emerging Technology Center. But deep learning has applications in both of these. I imagine you're not necessarily working on just one project together. Could you talk a little bit about maybe what's happening at CERT and then what's happening at ETC?
Sure. Yeah, so I think it's actually really important to unpack the distinction, because that was took a long time for me to understand the meaning, actually. So CERT was actually the... Please fact check me on this, but CERT was the United States' first cybersecurity group.
Yep.
It was formed in response to the Morris worm, which was a super bad computer virus. All of the projects that we do, in order to get funding, need to be pitched under the lens of this is useful for software security for the defense of the United States. So a lot of my, all of my data science work and all of my machine learning work is involved with a cybersecurity application. So right now, I am working on projects that investigate the utility of machine learning for code in various parts of its development cycle, for analysis of software in various parts of its development cycle.
So new frontiers that you push are frontiers relating to cybersecurity and really have a nice focusing effect on what you're doing. And you still get to work with a colleague who has a different filtering effect based on his affiliation.
Right, exactly. And so, I mean, I think because I had this image processing background from the brain imaging lab, I was fortunate to have the opportunity to work with Ritwik, who can now tell you about what the ETC does.
Okay, great.
Sure, yeah. So again, right, CERT does some really, really cool world-class cybersecurity stuff. So the ETC is a bit different. We're very new to the SEI. We were founded in 2013. And our focuses lie in three main areas, them being human-machine interaction slash machine-emotional intelligence. Mm-hmm. So how do we get a machine to better understand the emotional state of a human so we can work better together? Applied artificial intelligence and machine learning. So this is AI and ML applied to some task in the world. So that's a very broad description. We tend to not do cybersecurity because that is CERT's domain. So we do things like satellite imagery, voice articulometry, et cetera. And then the third one is advanced computing. So how do we push the fabric of computing further? So as the paradigms of computing change from CPUs to SIMD architectures like GPUs and TPUs, and what's next? We're working on the what's next as well. So that's our focus areas.
Okay.
And you can imagine there's a lot of applications for deep learning in all of those aspects there.
Thank you for joining us. Links to resources mentioned in this podcast are available in our transcript. This podcast is available on the SEI website at sei.cmu.edu/podcasts and on Carnegie Mellon University's iTunes U site and the SEI's YouTube channel. As always, if you have any questions, please don't hesitate to email us at info@sei.cmu.edu. Thank you.